And this is always an interesting thing when we talk about sowing seed, because people have different reactions when it comes to sowing seed, especially when it comes to finances. No one likes to give it up, but then we complain that we don't have enough. And so it's hard to say that we serve God and then we don't see what we'd like to see. And it causes the enemy to run really crazy in our emotions, work with our doubt as to is God who he really says he is. And we know that God is not Santa Claus, even though we want him to be him. Because it'd be wonderful for God just to magically snap his fingers and all of a sudden you have a boatload of money just in your mailbox or just appears in your room and your problems disappear. But like the old song says, more money, more problems. If you don't have a sound structure to be able to handle it. So people want blessing, but if the house isn't strong, it's going to fall. It makes no difference of what you see on the outside. The outside could look great, but really what matters is, do you have the bandwidth or capacity to hold blessing? Because there is a weight that comes with blessing. That's why God is slow and he's smart when it comes to blessing you, because if he would bless certain people, it would kill them. Because they can't handle the weight of that success because emotionally they're not strong enough and they don't have the character to hold it. And so God goes to work on the inner part of your life so that when he blesses the outer part, it works. So when we come to God and we're asking God, Lord, I'm believing you in faith. And God says, all right, I'm asking you to trust me that as I do the work in your life, that I am building in you something that's going to far outlast this life, but it's going to help you hold what I have for you in this life. I do have something for you now. I am not waiting for eternity to bless you with all the riches of heaven. It's a reason why Jesus said, pray that my kingdom come. And my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He told us that when he was here. So God's goal is for his kingdom to be enacted in his people now. So there's no reason why there should be this delay mentality in the mind of a Christian where it says, one day I'm going to get what God has for me. You will one day. But in the meantime, you need to get some other stuff. We don't serve a God who does things in halves. I know we like to talk about God, and we've talked about this before. We like to talk about God in the Testaments, and we say, well, God was angry in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, he is a God of love. Just read John, all of them. And so we look at our lives this way. Well, one day, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. And we sing about that one day, and we're broke now. And we're addicted to pain medication, codependent, can't stand on our own 2 feet, struggle with identity. But I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away, just waiting to die so that we can get what God has for us in eternity. What a terrible way to live. If that was the case, you should have took me when I said yes to you. But God said, I'm setting up stuff in your life now so you can be blessed. What does it do God any good if you walk around frustrated all the time? All the time. This does not discount the fact that you are in a spiritual war. Everyone knows we are in a spiritual war and you are fighting things that you cannot see and that you don't understand their influence. So there are things that are at work in your life that are working against you, whether you want to admit it or not. That's why it's a fight for you to make progress. You're trying to believe God for better, and you're trying to believe God for breakthrough, but there's an enemy who's behind the scene working some stuff so that things don't really work out like they should. And every once in a while, you get a glimpse of, why is the struggle like this? And it's because God is trying to do something in your life differently than he did in your parents' life. Do you hear me? This is not about God dealing with your biological parents or your family of origin. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are new and becoming new. So now you are dealing with a God who is trying to interrupt generational patterns and lines that were affected. And so you're trying to do something different. And if there's something inside of you that says, hell no, I'm not going back there. I'm saying it today because I've been fighting all week on this. I'm not going back there. Then God will make it his business to make sure that you get what you're supposed to get here. Especially if God has dropped something in your heart and say, hey, we're doing something different. You can be assured that there's going to be a fight over that seed that was dropped. I placed it in your heart. I know what's there. I know the vision and I see it and you can sense it and the enemy can sense it also. And there's an all-out assault on your belief system and your mechanism on whether or not God is going to come through or not. And you have to fight and stand and say, no, I'm going to take another step. I can't afford to miss it. I'm not walking in lack in my life. I won't. Why? Because I serve a God who can do immeasurably more. And if the word works, why can't it work for me? It doesn't have to be that way. There are certain things that you caught and that you saw growing up that you carry over into your belief system as you get older. And God has to break off some of that stuff because it wasn't healthy. And I don't care how you spin it and how great it was. God said it was not healthy. I allowed you to see it and I protected you from it, but it was not healthy. I got something different. Just because you saw it doesn't mean it was good. Just because you grew up that way doesn't mean it was the right way. Just because you caught it growing up doesn't mean you caught it right. You're trying to figure out God. God's already got to figure it out. And so we're dealing with a God who's trying to do something new in our life. And anytime he tries to do something new, that means the old has to go. And there's going to be a fight for the old to die. And I don't care what you say, old things die slowly. Because there's a fight over the spirit behind that thing that's trying to let you go. Because you're not just dealing with something in your life, you're dealing with something generationally that goes back generations. And if you would go back into a genogram, you would see, oh, it keeps going back. And so you're dealing with a spirit that's generational, that goes back generations, and God's got to go and whip all of them. And guess who he's doing it through? You. When I started this church, I knew God said, I'm doing something totally different. Don't look at it like it's the old. And as a reminder, as we continue to walk, it is a reminder. Occasionally, God will drop it in. Remember, we're doing something different. That's why there's a dogfight. We're not trying to build up Christians and keep them emaciated so that they never walk into the fullness of God. We're trying to get people to see the reality that there's a God who died for them so that they can be free physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. That you can actually walk in the promises of God. There was a handful of people who walked into the promised land in the Old Testament, a handful. A lot of them died out before they got in. And God said, I'm going to use this generation led by Joshua and Caleb to go in and take possession of the promised land. But when they went into the promised land, there was stuff that had to be fought and drove out in the promised land. God did not just give them the houses, give them the money, give them all the possessions and say, okay, now it's yours. You got to go fight the Hittites, the Jebusites, all the Ites, fight them. And every time you fight them, I'm going to give you a different plan. Every time I had to defeat it. Don't take what you did in the last one into this next one. And God was trying to help them see, this is how we're going to fight this. Sometimes you're going to fight it physically. Sometimes you're just going to stand still and see my salvation. Other times I'm going to ask you just to wait. Sometimes I'm just going to ask you to sow a seed. Other times I'm just going to want you to walk around a wall once for 6 days. Don't say a word. Let everybody else laugh at you. Let them jeer at you. But just hold your head high. Just remember what I told you. That's a message in itself. And then on the seventh day, we're going to do it seven times. Just speed it up every time you go. And then I want you to blow all that you got, all your instruments, blow. The walls are coming down. But just remember what I told you. And we get tripped up sometimes because we forget what God told us. And so you're walking around certain mountains and they're not falling. And you keep walking around the mountain. And the only person you can rely on is Jesus. Lord, I remember you told me this. I remember you gave me the promise. I remember you said I'd be prosperous. I remember you said I'd be in good health, even as my soul prospers. I remember, I saw what you put inside my heart. I remember that stuff. And this is the dialogue that you have as you walk around these walls. I remember this stuff. And everyone else might be looking at you. What is this crazy dude going around in circles for? What is he believing God for? I know what I'm believing God for. I know whose I am. I know what God said I could do. I know all this stuff. And this is the dialogue that you need to have with yourself and walk in faith around your walls. Not, it may come, it may not come. Sometimes you got to keep walking. You just got to keep walking. There are times where I'd be in the process of doing something and I don't finish it. And I'm like, if I would have just finished it, I'd be done with it. But we stopped short. All it really took was if I would have just leaned in a little bit and saw, oh, that's the problem, then I could have fixed it. But what we do sometimes is that quickly, we give up pretty quick. Nah, I don't see it. Nah. He told me, but I don't see it. I prayed, but I don't see it. I gave 10% because that's the quota. 10, and I don't see it. So you got to keep doing it. The power is in consistency. You got to keep doing it. Okay, you want breakthrough? Keep doing it. Keep doing it. And every time you do it, I'm going to build strength in you and show you who I am and prove to you my faithfulness. But it's got to be done consistently. And every level that you graduate from, I'm going to give you new requirements. This is the relationship that you have with God. Once you graduate, and God says, okay, new class, new requirements. But Lord, I like the old class. I don't know. This class is unknown to me. Exactly. That's why you need me. That's why you need faith. You're asking God to bless you, and God said, okay, just so you know, you're not going to know the answers to this. But I'm going to ask you to exercise your faith. And when you exercise your faith, we're going to make some progress. But new levels are going to come, new opportunities from growth. Just so you know, that was good then, but not here. Not here. That's why when we were going through this whole process of give thanks and seed offering, that God challenged me and says, okay, time to up your giving. Come up it. You believe in me for more. He said, you already graduated from that little stuff. It's time to go for more. I know, Lord, I graduated from little. So I know. It's just, you know. And God knows what you need. He knows what you need. Always does. So if you're believing God for fifth grade math, that you're going to pass it. Fifth grade math. You're going to have to believe God. He's going to give you the wisdom and how to pass fifth grade math. You already did second grade. Or even fourth. But now you're going to have to start giving more. Okay, all right, what I learned there was foundational, but now I'm going to need to exercise a little bit more of my faith and a little bit more of the access to the Holy Spirit in this. Because God will always force reliance on him. Always. If you want to do it on your own, stay where you're at. If you want to get what God has for you, Lord, I need you. And God will require that you step out and rely upon him. That's just the way it goes. If I'm going from faith to faith and glory to glory, that means that there are different levels in this thing. And what I used to beat the last level, I can't use here anymore. My measure of faith now has grown. You know what that looks like, right? It's the reason why when people work out and they call it the plateau. You plateau. You've already reached what you're going to do at this level. You're going to have to switch it up now, change your routine so that you can break through this barrier and get to the next one. And this is what's happening right now in the body. And for a lot of you, that you're bumping up against this wall. And God said, hey, kids, you've already plateaued here. Now it's time to believe me for the next level, church. This is where we're going. And if you can sense the Spirit of God and what he's doing here, God is doing something on another level. He said, it's time to go bigger. It's time to go bigger. And I'm going to require of you some elasticity in the way you think and how you believe me. And so here we are at a tipping point, not only as a nation, but as a tipping point as a body, and where God is asking the body to flex a little bit. I want you to flex. And anytime that happens, that means that there has to be an enlarging of your faith in order to see God do what he wants to do. That's how God operates. That's how he operates. And I know God's speaking to some of you on this, because the reality of it is that there's a real peace here today, real peace, because God is saying, hey, listen, I've got something more for you, but it's going to require more of you. More of you. Wait, I thought I gave you all I had. No. It is a continual giving. And one of the first things you have to do is that you have to give God access to you. I can't give. Yeah, you can. If you give God access to you. Because God will move out the stuff in there that's not of him and move in and give you the strength to do what he's asked you to do. It's a reason why you can go from anxiety to faith in a season, because you've given God access to that place inside of you that was full of anxiety, and all of a sudden God replaces it with his peace. Why? There's more of him now. It's a reason why you can go from addicted to free. It's because you've given God access to that addiction and allowed him to break you off, wean you off that, so that you don't have to deal with alcoholism or you don't have to deal with abuse. Is because you've allowed God to deal with. You know, there are so many people in the body still dealing with the lingering effects of abuse. Physically, emotionally. And because they can't give God access, they can't make sense of what happened to them. They stay held and bound to that abuse, and they can't get out. The only person who can get you out of that is Jesus, but you have to give him access. How can you expect to be free if you stay locked up? Have you tried that? Lord, I'm free, but I'm full of fear. I'm fear. Lord, I am full of faith, but I don't believe you can do it. Lord, I believe the best is yet to come, but probably won't. Lord, I know you have good things for me, but I'm not seeing it. Lord, thank you so much for delivering me from my past, but didn't really give me what I wanted. It's all counterintuitive. You got these two things working in your life back and forth. I'm believing God, but then you have this one thing that's still inside. That's why we preach emotional health so much. You got to get cut off from some stuff. In one breath, we praise God. In the next breath, we doubt. Correct? We do. And we're just talking about this because this is the problem in the body is that, and it's a problem because we want God to do all these things, but we don't really believe that he can. There's always that slight little, he might not. And he might not come through the way you want him to come through, but does he come through? Yes, he does. All the time. So let's put up the scripture. Go ahead, Alan, put it up for me. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on how many occasions? Every. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. What was happening here is that Paul was asking them to give sacrificially. And because of that sacrificial gift, Paul said, don't worry. What we're doing with this gift is going to bless many people. And I think what happens is that sometimes we look at God and we say, well, I don't know if God's going to bless me. But the Bible says that you will be enriched. You will be. On every occasion, you'll have what you need to be a blessing. That's God's heart for you. Every occasion, not like Christmas and Easter, it's time to give. It's time to give. It's gift-giving time. No, God's at every occasion. So every occasion, when you see a need and you're led, you got enough, God said, meet the need. Every occasion, not some, every occasion. And so if God is able to do immeasurably more above all we can ask or think, how come that it's seasonal with us? It's seasonal. Well, it's not the time of the year, Lord. It's not the time. It's March. Every occasion. Everyone. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about you sowed your time. And all of a sudden, you help someone get over something because you sowed your time. Someone needed you to come stand by their side through a difficult season. And guess what? You had the emotional bandwidth to be able to help them walk through that. And now they're walking tall. Now they're free. You helped with their accountability issue. It's not just about money. You'll be enriched. You'll be able to give what you have. If you don't have it, you can't give it. So if I'm doing something in you, I'm building storehouses in you so that you can give it when the opportunity comes. You have it inside of you, God says, but because I'm there, I'm going to do the work to make sure that when the opportunity comes, you're ready to go. Be enriched. Be enriched. So one of the first things I got to tell you is that money does matter. It matters. You need it to survive. Well, no, I'm believing God. I'm believing, man. He said not to work for a period of 6 to 7 years. And in that time, I believe supernaturally he's going to provide. Well, there will be some sort of provision, but it won't be the type you're looking for. Money does matter. It matters. And the second thing you have to know that it's God's, not yours. If he gives seed to the sower, he said, I give seed to the sower. I've given you the ability to work. Oh, man, now you're talking about getting a job. Yeah. I've given you the ability to work, to harvest where you work. And I'm asking you from that harvest to give me a portion because I'm just want to make sure that you know that I'm the king. And I've given you the ability to work. I'm just asking you for that portion. And people get tripped up on all this stuff. Well, he said 10. Now, what does that mean? Is that like 10 net or 10 gross? Give the man over and above the 10. I don't know why we have to talk about this, but we have to with people. Because people really get like, they start the nickel and dime guy. Well, I made $100 this week. Yeah, give 10. It's 10. Well, I made 102. What does that mean? Give 12. It's not hard, but people get like all frustrated about it. It's God said, I'm giving you a portion. Don't get locked in. There's a freedom there. There's a freedom. God said, Richie, you're giving over and above. 10's not for you. You're going over and above. Because people hold God, you said 10. And it gets very literal because they can't believe and they can't trust God that he's able to do immeasurably more because it's all his anyway. So if I step out in faith and I say, all right, I'm going to believe you, Lord, for more. And God said, this is what I want you to give. And I want you to, oh, I'm going to do it, Lord. And God says, I'm pleased with that. What is God asking you to do? What is he asking you to do? There are people who are blessed in here because they've been obedient to do what God has asked them to do. That's what it comes down to. Money matters, one. Two, it's God's, it's not yours. All right, Lord, what do you want me to do with it? I'm not saying it's not going to be a struggle for you to hand it over. Because it is a struggle, because what people do, and they look at their needs, and then they look at the means, and they're like, ooh, it's not going to work for me. But I'm going to tell you that it's not going to work anyway if you don't do what God's asked you to do the right way. If God sets up the accounting system and God said, this is how I want it done, and we don't do it right, it's not going to work. So if you're believing God for bigger and God says, Malia, I want you to double your tithes and offerings for the next month, guess what Malia needs to do? Double her tithes and offerings next month. Guess what's going to happen? It's going to enlarge her capacity to hold more of God inside of her, because now God could take up more room inside of her because he sees, she believes me. And God begins to swell in her. God flex. And this is what God's, we need to God flex, man. And when you God flex, anything's possible. Because you get out of yourself and you allow God to supersede what your limited mind and capability is capable of doing. And God says, I can do it through you. You got a God flex. Some of you are looking at your finances right now and saying, I can't, I don't know how I'm making it. I do. It's Jesus. Because you're dealing with something that's out of your control and out of your ability to comprehend. In the kingdom, 1 + 1 is not 2. It's not. That's why I told you, don't look at 10 and hold God to it. God said, nah, this is for you. Because what God does, he does things immeasurably more. He said, you won't be able to measure or count how I want to bless you. Because I'm asking you to do it in faith. This is where we get tripped up. God's asking you to do it in faith. He's not asking you to understand it. I'm trying to understand God. Good luck. So what you need to do is believe God in faith that what God's asking you to do, he's going to come through. And I know I'm talking about this today, and you're like, I hate this, but I do this once a year. And so that's why people aren't here, and they got sick. The enemy gets in. People call in, I'm sick, I can't come today. He starts wreaking havoc on people because it's like, oh, God, it's seed. He knows it's seed Sunday. We're going to talk about seed, and you know you ain't giving, so why go? And all of a sudden, we get all up in our heads about it. And I believe God wants breakthrough in this area. I believe he does. We don't talk about it a lot here when it comes to finances because I trust that God is big enough to deal with you. A pastor cannot control what his people gives. I don't care what anybody tells you. That is not his job. It's the Spirit of God to be able to encourage you to do it. You don't get, that's on you. That's on you. But don't complain when you don't see blessing. Don't complain where something breaks down. I'm going there. Don't complain when something breaks down. Hey, how come the bathroom faucet has been like broken for like 6 months? Well, tithes and offerings have been down over the last 3 months. And I can't float it anymore. So just letting you know, until giving goes up, that ain't going to be fixed. You give, things get fixed. You don't, they don't. I know it's not spiritual, but it's natural to be spiritual and spiritual to be natural. There's a saying. So there's a natural component to this that we're believing God in faith that he's going to do great things. And God has been faithful. Has been faithful. And so it's a reason why that where we're at as a church, we can do some of the things that we can, where others cannot. Because God says, you've been faithful, church. You've gotten up to the wall. Guess what? Now it's time to go higher. because God wants to do something and you can feel there's a swell. I'm going to say it again, but it's going to require another level of faith. And God says you have been faithful to this point and he's very pleased. But now it's time to go up again. Oh, Lord, I just got comfortable. Exactly. Now it's time to go up again. Anytime you get comfortable, watch out. The Lord's coming in. He's going to mess up something. He's going to deal with your head and deal with your heart. Because God said, you're too comfortable. It's time to grow in faith. Why do some churches seem to accelerate more than others? I'm not here to argue or try to debate why churches are bigger than others. But all I know is that God has his hand on who he wants his hand to be on. And when God says it's time to change and switch and shift, then we change, we shift, all that stuff. And I'm telling you here, the church is changing, is shifting, and it's growing. So the influence of this church this year, I had a leadership meeting on Friday night. I told the leadership meeting, I said, two things this year. I said, we're going deeper and wider. That means your foundation's going deeper and your influence is going wider. Why? Because God flex. God flex. Now I'm able to hold more. God can trust me. There's more God in me now. I got it. So yeah, I got it. My faith level is up there now. I'm crazier than ever now. I'm ready. But if you don't want to go, it's up to you. And I think God is faithful because God will set the tempo of how ministry would be. And God always sets the tempo based upon the leader and the leadership of the church. So if God is moving, you got one or two choices. You go with God or you find something else to do. Is that nice? Because God said, it's my house, my vision, what I want to do. If you're not in that, well, there's other options. But I'm telling you this, I'd rather be where God wants me, in his flow, where he wants, because that's where the blessing is. Even in the hardship and all the difficulty, that's where the blessing is. That's where the fruit is. That's where the fulfillment is. Anything else is secondary. It's God's. Let's move on. Next one. Why do I do it? Because I love myself. No. I love God because of what he's done. How can I not give back to him what he's already given to me? How can I not take a step of faith? Even though I may not know the outcomes, how can I not take the step of faith and say, God, it's all yours. You take it. Do what you want with it. I don't see it all, but I know you do. How come people hold back and say, you know, I'd rather trust myself? You can't even trust yourself. Have you ever tried to lean on your own understanding and direct your own path? It doesn't work. Have you ever tried to figure out your own life and then tell God, hey, listen, I got it. Yeah, you don't got it. Because behind you, supernaturally, you don't see it, but there's a God who's got you like this. I know you think you got it, but I got you, just so you know. And every once in a while, I got you. Don't worry. I know you're all up in your own business, but I got you. Listen, I know what's coming. I got you. And God said, listen, just be attentive. Just be sensitive to my spirit. Just sense what I'm doing. Just sense it. I want to break strongholds, he said. I want to help people get out of debt. Not just debt, but I want to help people stop walking in lack and start walking in abundance. I actually am a good God. Despite popular opinion, I'm actually a good God. And I desire to give good gifts to my kids. And let me tell you what a good gift is. Rest. Rest in him because you've done what he's asked you to do. Oh, man, don't you want to get there? Lord, I know you've done, and I've done it, and I feel good. Rest is a gift. It's a reason why you feel so much anxiety right now or there's turmoil, because there's still some stuff that God wants you to deal with so that you can get to rest. I'm not saying get to laziness. There's a difference in rest and laziness. Someone's like, oh my God, I wish I could just get fat and I can wish I do whatever I want to do and I just do whatever I want to do and not care. I'm not talking about laziness. I'm talking about rest, a supernatural rest, because in that there's strength. Man, I feel good today. I feel God. Why? Rest. When you fight through battles and you get to the other side, you have a right to enjoy the spoils of the battle. When you're dealing with situations in your life and you're trying to work through anxiety and you finally get to peace, you don't want to lose that. Because you know what it took to get you from there to here. So if you're at a position in your life right now where I feel like, and I've said this before, you feel like you're in transition the right way. You're in transitioning from a place of anxiety to peace. That's where you want to be. From a place of confusion to peace, that's where you want to be. From a place of just weakness to strength, that's where you want to be. How you doing? I'm good. I'm just transitioning. Don't I look different? I'm not transitioning like the world does. I'm transitioning into who God has called me to be. And I know it may not look great at times, but I'm going to fight and I'm going to get there. Oh, man, I know. That's why you worship through tears. That's why you stand in faith and struggle. That's why you get up and do it anyway when you don't want to do it. That's why when you stay in it, even though it sucks, because you know that God is building something inside of you that far outweighs what you're dealing with right now. I know you're sowing in tears, but guess what? You're going to reap in joy. I know there's ashes, but guess what? Beauty is coming. I know you're mourning, but guess what? I'll give you the oil of joy. I know it. But if you just stay in it, God says, I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to get you there. Remember, you're in transition. It's not going to look good. Don't try to look pretty. Don't try to look pretty. I'm not into pretty. I'm trying to get to something inside of you that goes far beyond what's happening on your outside. But just don't worry. Once I fix it there, you're going to look good. I'm going to just hug everybody in this room. And I don't know what I'm going to do right now. I'm just so fired up. Okay. I'm in transition. In the right way. Still a man. Okay. But there's something that God's trying to get to that's necessary for your freedom. And if he can't get to it, it's going to be difficult for you to get there. That's why there's a fight. That's why there's a fight to uncover it. God can see it. He can see it. But he knows what it's buried under. And so he's doing a work. Why? So he could flex. It's not about you. It's about God flex so that all of a sudden the world can see that there is a God who's alive and who's active. They'll see your good works and they'll glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Oh, they're going to see what I'm doing. And as a result, man, what's up with you? Man, I tell you what, there's something about me. God is doing something and I can't deny it. You know, you're right. There is something different about you. That's why you ought to want to be in transition. That's why you want to change because of what he's doing. I don't want to trade what I've been through from where I am right now. Why? Because I feel good and I look good. I look good. Why? Because God said, man, I see myself now. Man, I see the strength. Oh, I love it. I see the strength. God gets excited about the work he's doing. I see the peace. I see the joy. I see it inside of you. I know the enemy's telling you that you're not going to make it, but I see it. You stand through the tears. You stand through it. I see it right now. I got you. My hand is on you right now. I got you. You ain't going anywhere. I listen, what about Bob? No, it's God. I got you. I got you. Don't come on. Keep in it. Keep in it. You're almost there. You're almost there. And the enemy knows that when you're almost there, he's always tries to speak the loudest and say, ah, no, he's not going to come through. But God said, I got you. I got you. I'm not going to let you go. Just keep standing. Keep holding on. Keep doing what I've called you to do because breakthrough is coming. Power is coming. Release is coming. Joy is is coming, peace, all that is coming in your life, and what you've been through is going to far outweigh. It's not even going to matter what you've been through because of the result of it. I know it hurts, but I got you. I know, because I'm doing something inside of you that you're going to actually love before when it's done. That's why God is so good, because you can hate him in the process and he still loves you anyway. And in the end, he knows. See? Come on, man. Come on up. That's why God is so good. He doesn't discard you because of how you feel about it. His grace is patient because he knows what is producing inside of you. And God said, I love what it's producing inside of you. Just look at yourself right now. Take an honest look at yourself this week and tell me that you're not better than you were last year. That you don't see strength in areas that you didn't see before, and now you see it. Now you're like, ooh. Because the enemy knows that you're dangerous. Once you allow God to do what he has to do, he knows the danger in a Christian coming into their identity and their fullness. Nothing can stop. Let's all stand to our feet. Power in our relationship with Christ, and the enemy would like nothing more than to suffocate that power. Suffocate your praise, hinder your worship, stop your progress because of what was and what is. Because what is sometimes is overwhelming. And it's hard to see your way through it. But once you begin to worship God and lift up a sacrifice of praise, God begins to come through and unlock things in your life. Sometimes it's just a matter of sitting with the Lord and allowing him to do what he has to do. Other times it's a matter of you warring and worshiping and saying, I got to worship my way through it. And just, I got to worship with that song that he's already placed in my heart. I got to worship with it. I worship with it. And sometimes it's just a matter of you actually standing up on truth. When everything else around you is sinking and you don't know where to go, it's a matter of you standing up in truth and saying, no, I am bowing. I know I am bowing. I know the temptation is to bow, but I am staying here. No, I'm not going backwards. That anxiety is not going to take me out today. I'm standing in faith. He said he's faithful. He will provide. I may not know how. I may not know when, but he is coming through for me, and I'm standing in faith. And that's where the test is. And every time you do it, it tells the enemy that your God is bigger than him and that you believe in someone who's greater than him. I'm standing here. What God has for me is greater than what I've been through and what you're telling me right now. Standing in faith. The battle is real. Don't anybody tell you it's different. It's real. You got to stand in faith. I'm coming for the emotion. The enemy said, I'm going to come for your emotions. I'm coming for your anxiety. I'm going to make it difficult for you to see God. But if you stand in faith, God said, you can see me. I'm right there. I got you. Magnifying the enemy. He's already defeated. He's already defeated. I'm magnifying the Lord. When I magnify the Lord, the enemy shrinks. You place him where he needs to go, and that's under your feet. But we got to learn how to overcome. And what I'm trying to tell you today is that if you're going to see breakthrough, you got to sow. So, and I know it's about finances, but it's not just about finances. You might have to sow in tears. You might have to. You might have to stand in the midst of difficulty and fight. You might have to stand on truth in order to see breakthrough. You might have to go into the enemy's camp and tell him no more. You might have to. You might have to allow the Lord to help make a table in the presence of your enemies and just sit. You might have to. You might not. It's not just going to be, well, God's just going to deliver me. Yeah, he might, but it might be in the presence of your enemies. And God might free you doing the thing you don't want to do and you're not comfortable doing. God might free you that way, because he's going to show you that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You're not going to do it by yourself, but I'm going to send you in with me. Sending you in with me. It's the reason why I say, hey, listen, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. But don't worry, I got you. God said, I'm sending you out into a world. But don't worry, I've got you. I got you. I know it's hard, I know it's difficult. I got you. And because remember, I'm with you. And God, I know the enemy is coming for you, but don't worry, greater. And anytime you begin to agree with that assessment, that greater, all of a sudden, you flex. You're right. You are greater. And then anxiety's got to go. Peace all of a sudden settles over you. You can stabilize yourself and say, let's go, let's get at it. That's why every day you should get up. You may not want to get up every day and say, let's go. Let's go.